Today we're talking about finishing well, okay? So got a one-off sermon right here in between series. Excited to share with you. We start a brand new series next week. You'll hear more about this at the end of the sermon our summer guest series. So we've got three guest speakers coming that are going to do an incredible job. I'm looking forward to them being with us. Micah Fries, Willie McLaurin, and then Roger Freeman, who is the retired pastor from First Baptist here in Clarksville. But incredible men of God with ministries all across this country. Looking forward to them come and challenging us about how Christ, we bring Christ to the culture and how we're to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to give that hope in these days. But in between right here, we just finished up our series walking through the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And so God just put in our heart, Pastor Urban, Pastor Blake, and myself to talk about finishing well today. Endurance and finishing well. Because in these last days, the scripture says in the end times, it's going to go from hard to worse. And we see that. A lot of violence, a lot of divisiveness, a lot of vitriol and just, anger and bitterness in our world right now. And Jesus wants us to bridge that with his hope. And he's calling us to finish strong and to run this race with endurance. So Hebrews chapter 12 is where we're at today, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Verses will be on the screen where you can read along with us from there in just a moment. He says here, let's run the race with endurance. I still remember back in middle school, I ran track. Okay? I know that that's shocking, right, to many of you this morning, but ran track in middle school. And one of the races that I ran with our middle school track team was the 4x400 relay. And I still remember my last race. I didn't run in high school, but I still remember my last district race in middle school track. And, the runner was coming around and I got up to that line and it was my turn to run and here comes the baton and I grab that baton and I look up and one of the other teams, the guys is a good bit in front of me. So they're in the lead and I thought to myself, man, I've got to catch that guy, right? So off I went. I'm sprinting out of the gate because I'm going to take the lead for our team. And on that back stretch outside of that first turn, I took the lead. And here we go, man, and I'm leaving him, right? I'm dusting this guy, man. I'm leaving him. I'm getting 6, 7, 8 lengths ahead of this guy. Well, start to round that last turn and come down that home stretch, and I started running out of gas. I did not pace myself. Also, you runners in the room, you know, I haven't trained real well. I'm a middle school kid. I'm like, I'm just going to go out there and go run. I haven't done the proper training. So needless to say, one lap wide open around the track was not possible for me at this point because my body wasn't prepared for it. And so we get down that last 100 meters and it's all I can do just to get, get to the finish line and get to the line and hand that baton off to our anchor leg. And needless to say, the other guy had paced himself, had trained a little bit better. What did he do? He started dusting me that last 100 meters, and they easily regained the lead on us once again. The moral of the story is life's not about, and the Christian faith is not so much about how you start as it is about how you finish. Isn't that right? And sadly, there's a whole lot of people that claim the name of Christ, profess to be believers, and they take that baton right out of the gate. Man, they get baptized, and they're running. Man, they're sprinting. They're serving. They're giving. They're plugged into a small group. Man, they're reading the Bible and praying. But somewhere along the way, difficulty comes, hardship comes. How many of you know today that in the Christian life, it's going to get hard? Come on, somebody. God doesn't promise us an easy path. In fact, he says anyone who wants to be godly in Christ will have suffering. There'll be burdens to bear and to carry. And so many, when it starts to get difficult, go back to the sidelines, want to quit the race, or can't keep up, right? So to speak, spiritually. So many people seem to run out of gas and they give up on serving God. So what happened? What happened there? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. How do we run this race with endurance? What does that look like? Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read together. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to who? Come on, church. Who are we looking to? Come on, say his name again. Come on, church. Jesus, the name above every name, right? We're looking to him as we run. We're not looking around. We're not looking at others. We're not comparing our life to other people. I'm looking at him. It says, looking to Jesus, he is the founder and the perfecter of our faith, and who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is seated now at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, speak to us today. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Father, give us perseverance and endurance. Strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, for that man, woman, boy, or girl here today that's not saved, Lord, that has never surrendered to you and received your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do that today, that you would bring salvation and fill them with yourself. Jesus, it is in your name we pray all these things. Amen and amen. Running the race, finishing well. I don't know about you, but I want that to be my testimony. I want to finish well. I want to run through the tape wide open, so to speak. I want to go to heaven, man, with hair on fire, man, for Jesus. I mean, that's just my heart. And that should be the heart for every child of God. God calls us to that. The good news is, listen closely today, by the grace of God, you can finish strong. His grace, his spirit strengthens us, empowers us, but also his grace, his gospel ensures our finish, doesn't it? The scripture says that when you turn from sin and place faith in Jesus, that he who began a good work in you, he will complete that work. And so that's a wonderful promise from God's word. Our salvation is secure. It's kept by his power, not our own. And so when we talk about running with endurance today, we're not talking about keeping our salvation. We're talking about expressing it. We're talking about expressing that salvation. And although Satan can't steal our home in heaven, he can steal our song. He can change our service. He can steal our reward, the scripture says. And so let's run in such a way, as the apostle Paul said. He said, man, I beat my body. I train spiritually and bring it under submission so that as I run, I'll be found victorious. I will receive the prize. And so too, that's the life God's calling us to. How do you do that? Right here in Hebrews 12, I believe we see how to finish strong. God tells us that here. First of all, if we're going to finish the race well, the race of the Christian life, we've got to remember God's faithfulness. How many of you know today that God's a faithful God? Come on, somebody. He keeps his promises, doesn't he? He is a good and an awesome God. The chapter right before this is referred to by many as what? The Hall of Faith. You ever heard that statement before about Hebrews chapter 11? It's the Hall of Faith. In it, the writer lists many examples of men and women who exhibited uncommon faith. Those who had run through that tape well, man. They had finished strong. Men of God like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Men of God like David and Samuel and Gideon. Women of God like Sarah and Rahab, man, prostitute, man, who turned from that life and said, I'm going to be counted with the people of God. I'm going to be willing to take on hardship and suffering for Jesus. And so you've got all these examples. So here at the beginning of chapter 12, when he says that we have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, so man, let's run this race, that's what he's referring to. He's saying, man, based on their example, are they in heaven looking down on us today? Well, yes, most likely, possibly. But really the emphasis is we should follow their example. We should learn from their godly faith that we see encapsulated, especially in the Old Testament. And so we find encouragement by being surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. Cloud gives this idea of this massive group of people who went through hardship and saw God faithful. Hey, does it not encourage us today to know that throughout the ages there have been thousands, countless thousands of believers, children of God, who have faced incredible obstacles but have found God to be faithful? That encourages us, doesn't it? To know, by the way, there's nothing new under the sun. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And so all this is true. And so we can know that God is good and he's faithful. Listen, the same God who parted the seas, who tore down walls, who supernaturally delivered his people, who gave miracle babies to barren women in the Old Testament. The same God who rose his own son from the dead. It's the same God we serve today. Isn't that right, church? It's the same God we serve today. So no matter what we face, we can know that God is faithful. It's interesting. You got Hall of Faith, chapter 11. You've got chapter 12 where it talks about endurance and discipline and running this race in the grace of God. Then in chapter 13, verse 8, we have this verse. It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God is faithful. Don't you know today that God is big enough? Come on, somebody. He's big enough to handle what's going on in your life. He's smart enough, don't you think? If he spoke this world into existence and all the complexity and the beauty that we see, just maybe he's smart enough to handle, wise enough to handle the stuff in my life and to counsel me on it. He's big enough. He's strong enough. He's awesome enough. And so we can rest in him. It reminds me of the story of, I heard about a house fire. There was a house that caught on fire and there was a young boy who was trapped upstairs. So horrible situation. So he had to flee to the roof. Well, his parents had been able to get out of the house and couldn't get to him upstairs because of the fire. So the father is standing there and he sees the son on the roof, on the section of roof there, and he's calling out to him, "Jump, son, jump, jump and I'll catch you. Jump and I'll catch you." Well, all the son could see was fire and smoke. He couldn't see his father, but he could hear his voice. And he was apprehensive. And he said, but Dad, and he cried out to him, he said, "But Dad, I can't see you. I can't see you." And the father looked up and he said, "Son, I can see you. And that's all that matters." How many of you know today that, listen, our Father sees us? Come on, somebody. And life may get difficult. It may get smoky and fiery and hard. And we can't see in front of us to know what's next. But aren't you glad we've got a timeless, everlasting, all-powerful God who sees it all, knows it all. And listen, his arms are big enough, right? Strong enough to hold us. So today, just jump into his arms. Man, how do you finish the race? You got to start by just trusting in God's faithfulness. It's not my power, it's his power. It's not my sufficiency, it's his grace, which is sufficient. His grace empowers us. So we got to remember his faithfulness if we're going to finish well. Secondly, let's keep moving. Not only must we remember God's faithfulness, we've also got to remove some stuff, don't we? He says here you got to remove the hindrances. Hey, don't you know you can't run the race with your shoes untied? You know what I'm saying? You can't run the race with clothing that's real big or loose or flowing, because it'll affect your ability to run. And that's what he starts talking about here. He says, listen, you got to lay aside every weight, lay aside every weight and the sin. Got to confess sin. Now, how many of you know today that Jesus has forgiven your sin if you've trusted in him? You know that today? Yeah, the scripture says in him, Ephesians chapter 1, that through his shed blood, when we place faith in him, we have forgiveness. But when sin is in our life, when we allow sin to have its way in us, it trips us up in the race, doesn't it? It doesn't change our position. We're children of God. We rest in his love, but yet our fellowship is broken. Our service is changed. Now I'm not serving God. My worship is affected. And so now I'm missing out on the joy of the Christian life. It quenches the Holy Spirit. So we've got to lay aside every weight and address the sin in our life with a tender, humble heart before God. So two words. Let me give you two words here. And this is not in your outline, so I encourage you to write this down. Okay? Two words. Simplification and sanctification. What's he talking about here? Simplification and sanctification. When he says lay aside every weight, the idea here is to stop doing that which you are accustomed to doing that is negatively affecting your walk with God. It's kind of like, think of it like this. It's been said before that the greatest enemy or the most effective or prominent enemy of greatness is goodness. The most prominent enemy of greatness in your life are those good things, seemingly like amoral things or good things that feel, make me feel good, make, you know, or I think are good for my family or, you know, good for my lifestyle, but yet they're keeping me from serving God. They're keeping me from God's house on Sunday. They're keeping me from giving to His, to missions and to bless others and to Hope Pregnancy Center and helping others. It's keeping me from serving God in Jesus' name in our community. Those things, hello. Do we have those things in our life, church? Come on now. Get honest about it. We do, don't we? In our schedule, in our family budget, in just our lifestyles, those little nagging habits that we just let stay that need to be done away with. And so you got to lay aside. So simplify. It's been said like this before too. We grow more by our no's than our yeses. You ever heard that statement before? You grow more in life and in Christ by your no's than by your yeses. So today, listen, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, doesn't he? Yes, he brings temptation into our life, obvious open sin, but he also brings these good things. And so much of that happened during COVID, didn't it? That was such a hard time, but it was also a learning time for the church. And there were so many, listen to him, there's so many coming out of COVID who have taken the baton and laid it down and they're not in the race anymore. Why is that? Can I be honest with you? It's not the families we've connected with that we say, hey, come back to church, come back to church. It's not so much open, like sinful, wicked stuff that they've gotten into. During COVID, you know, a lot of families said, bless God, man, we came face to face with our mortality. So, man, bless God, we're not going to have these kids forever. Listen, man, we need to buy a boat and go to the lake on the weekend. Hello. I mean, we need to buy a boat. We need to go camping more. We need to spend more time together. Is there anything wrong with having a boat? No. Is there anything wrong with going camping? No. But if the boat or the camping keeps you from God's church and serving Him, that's a problem. I got one amen on the front row. Anybody else want to get in on that today? I want to make sure we believe it. Guys, listen, can we get honest about it? That's where the proverbial rubber meets the road for us, right? It's these good things. You say, well, man, I love Jesus and I know Him. I'm saved. You know, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is if you're not serving God and running the race, man, you're missing out on the joy of the Christian life. And there is no neutral in the Christian life. You're either moving forward with Jesus or you're backsliding. You're going backwards. It's so simplification. Listen to me. It's okay to go to the lake every now and then. It's okay to go camping with your family. But listen, our consistent commitment ought to be to Jesus daily, weekly with His church, right? Daily with Him in the Word and in prayer, and consistently in serving and giving and being living on mission for Christ. That's what the race looks like. If we're not doing those things, we're not in the race. You're not even in the race. Spectator sport. For so many people coming out of COVID, Christianity has turned into a spectator sport. Sitting in the stands watching everybody else run the race. And listen to me, I don't mean that to be hard today, but there's a whole bunch of us in this room that are sitting in the stands watching about 20% of the church run the race. I don't mean that to be hard today. I mean that to be an exhortation and a challenge to you. There's so much more that God has for your life than that. And it's not just simply about church involvement. Don't hear me saying that, as long as you're at church every Sunday, you're right with God. No, that's a part of it. But listen to me, even more important than that is loving God, worshiping God, living in prayer with Him, sharing the gospel with others, living that outward missional life, giving, serving, inviting. That's the race. If we're not involved in that, we're not racing. We're in the stands. You see that? And so receive that as a challenge today. Receive that as an encouragement, as an exhortation. Let the Spirit of God, man, let that thing simmer in your heart today. And let the Spirit of God do some work there and say, man, what needs to change? Man, you need to be working with Hope Pregnancy Center. You need to be serving in ministry here at the church. We need to be giving. We need to get in a race. I need to be in the Word and in prayer daily. We're not talking about for our salvation today. We're talking about because of it. Right? So he talks about simplification. Man, that is like a foreign word in our culture, isn't it? Simplification. But God's calling us to that. What's got to change so that I can serve God? But also sanctification, the sin, right, that clings so closely, he says. Words, thoughts. That's where it starts, in the heart and the mind, doesn't it? Stuff that we allow in. This image-driven society that we live in today, man, all the videos and the news and the internet stuff and the social media, the stuff we're letting in, is God's word getting in there more than all that junk? And so that's the sin. So words, thoughts, actions, decisions of life, right, that we know are wrong based on the authority of God's word to us. And so remember, this is God's best for our life, his love letter to us. And so what's the sin that needs to change? And it clings so closely. That's interesting. In other words, what he's saying is, listen closely, even children of God today, and he's speaking to the church here, that sin is always just beneath the surface, isn't it? That flesh is there, isn't it? I don't know about you. I have a whole lot more trouble with Derek Smith than I do the world. Hello. I got a whole lot more trouble first with my own walk with God before I do even the rest of the world. I got to start with me. I get this log out of my eye today, right? And so it's like an iceberg. If you know anything about icebergs, geologists tell us that some 80 to 90% of an iceberg, the mass of an iceberg, is actually below the waterline. Did you know that? So if you see this massive iceberg, think, you know, 80, 90% actually of this thing is under the water. And so too, when you think about our lives, isn't that true about us? What people see on the surface so often, that's just a small part of what's really going on in our hearts and our minds. And so we got to come to the Lord. We got to say, Lord, you know what's deep within me. We got to get honest with him. And church, listen to me. Then I need to find another brother or sister in Christ. Right, guys with guys, girls with girls, so you can get real and deep in your stuff. And so find another guy that'll pray for you, another lady that'll pray for you, and say, listen, this is what I struggle with, these things. And enlist their prayers. James chapter 5 says, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed. So Jesus is our great high priest. We confess to him first, and he gives forgiveness, but then I need that accountability in my life. And so, church, if we're going to run the race, listen to them, we can't run with our shoes untied. You can't run in a robe. You got to run in some tight stuff. You know what I'm saying? And so we got to get rid. We got to simplify and sanctify. Let the Spirit of God have his way there. Then we can run the race with endurance, which leads to number three, right? We're called to run with, what's that word, church? Come on now. In the passage. Endurance. Endurance. Now, what's that all about? That word endurance means, in the original language, in the Greek, it literally means to remain under the weight. So just stay in that place. Keep fighting the battle. It's when we give up saying, man, hey, Father, forgive me of my sin and I want to honor you. It's when we give up in those moments and say, you know what, I'm tired of the battle, man. I'm just going to go out here and live for myself. And you say, does that really happen? It happens often, doesn't it? To those who claim the name of Christ, who say, man, I'm done with the battle. I'm done dealing with hard to deal with people in the church. I'm done trying to be a witness in my workplace. It's too hard, man. Nobody cares and nobody wants to listen. God, I like some of these fleshly things. So what's the big deal, right? You've saved me and I'm in your grace. And so it's so easy to quit in the battle. And so what he's saying is, man, remain under the weight. So perseverance, right? Endurance, this picture, it is us staying in that place, remaining under that weight. It's the ability to press on with Jesus despite the obstacles. So I'm going to press on. I'm going to press in. I'm not, hello church, haven't you heard me say this? I'm not running from God. I'm running to him. And I run to his throne of grace. Hey, don't you know today that our God is a gracious God, a merciful God, a loving God? He's mindful that we are but dust. Even as his children, we still got the sin there. So he says, come to me with it. Run to him. So it's pressing on with Jesus. Endurance. listen closely, means being steadfast, goal-oriented in my walk with God, focused. So what's the intentionality? You can't run a marathon unless you train. How many folks have I got in the room that's run a marathon before? Handful? A few? One in the back? Maybe a few here? Yeah, half marathon? Who's done a half? A few more? Yeah. And so if you want to run, you got to train, don't you? You can't just show up at a marathon and take off. You got to train. And that's the idea here, man. Our training, it's in the Word of God and in prayer. So I got to train. Endurance, endurance, endurance. Reminds me of Emmitt Smith. How many Emmitt Smith fans have I got in the room? Come on. A few? Yeah, Emmitt Smith. Some of you young people Google that. You probably don't even know who Emmitt Smith is, but that's all right. We're going to help you. Emmitt Smith is the leading rusher all time in NFL history, right? He was most notably, played a couple of years for the Cardinals at the end, but most notably played for the Dallas Cowboys. And Emmitt Smith rushed for over 18,000 yards. It's over 10 miles of yardage that he gained in his career. But his yards per carry average was very average. I mean, it was just a typical yards per carry, 4.2 yards per carry. And so if you do the math, that's just the way my brain thinks, right? So you do the math, that means he got tackled over 4,300 times in his career. Over 4,300 times. So what was the difference between Emmitt Smith and everybody else? It's simple, isn't it? He kept getting back up and carrying the ball. Whereas the majority of running backs, they get hit a bunch of times, and after maybe no more than 8 or 10 years, and a lot of times even if that, right, they're retiring and they're quitting because they've been hit so many times. Emmitt Smith just kept getting back up and carrying the ball. And friends, listen to me. So many people who claim the name of Christ, when they get hit, don't want to carry the ball anymore. Difficulty comes, hardship comes. Hard to deal with people, hard situations in life, hard circumstances, giving or serving in such a way that all of a sudden sacrifice, you have to sacrifice some things. And all of a sudden these difficulties come and hardship in life, things you don't understand. God, why are we going through this as a family? Why is my kid sick? Why is my marriage struggling? Why are we having all these financial troubles? And life starts to throw the difficulty, it starts to hit you. And so many Christians want to go to the sidelines, man, and leave and say, somebody else is going to need to carry the ball now. So what he's saying here is, man, just listen, just put the pads on, the helmet on, go back out to practice with me in the morning, in the Word and in prayer, and then get in the game. Get back in the game and just carry the ball. Humble yourself. Die to yourself. Die to your own pride and your own sensitivities. Right? Put God and others before yourself. And carry the ball. That's what he's saying here. So run with endurance. Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul tells us exactly what this looks like from his own life. All the hardship he had dealt with. And so Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, God's at work in you. He's doing that. He's both to will and to work for his own good pleasure. And do all things without grumbling and disputing. But he also goes to say, man, there's one thing that I have not... That I have figured out. I have not made it yet, and I have forgotten what lies behind, and I am what? Straining forward to what lies ahead in Christ. So let me give you two words this morning. Two words for how to run with endurance. Number one, forget. You ready? Write this down. Forget. Number one. Number two, fight. Forget. And fight. How do you run with endurance? Number one, you got to forget. What does that mean? That means that I have to own my sin, bring it to the Lord, confess it, make things right with others I've harmed in the process, say I'm sorry, and repair those relationships. But then I've got to what? Learn from it and leave it in the past. That's what Paul says. He says, forgetting what lies behind. He used to persecute Christians, see to it that they were imprisoned and even executed for being followers of Jesus. He said, man, I can't let the enemy throw shame and doubt and condemnation on me because of my past. How many of you know that our failures don't define us? Anybody else grateful for that today? Come on, church. Our failures do not define us. Listen, so don't let your failure derail you. Don't let your failure derail you. We are not defined by our failure. We're defined by the grace of God when we come to Jesus. So I got to leave the past in the past. Learn from the past, but leave it there. Because at the cross, man, it's all under the blood. Aren't you grateful for that today? And by the way, even as we sin as believers right now, when I fail, I can come to God and find His grace sufficient and say, God, I'm sorry, I've messed this up. I can go to other brothers and sisters of Christ and say, I'm sorry I said that, I did that. Forgive me. And then I can leave it. And I can move on. So forget. Secondly, fight. So He says, I'm straining forward. Again, that battle. Keep fighting the battle. Just stay in the battle. Stay in prayer. Stay in the Word. Keep coming and being a part of God's church so you can be encouraged by the preaching of the Word and the worship and other believers. And so just keep fighting. So how do you run with endurance? You got to forget. You got to have a short memory, right? Learn from it and then leave it. And you can't let the enemy throw all that shame and condemnation on you. But then number two, we're called to fight, run, labor, strive, strain, stay in it. That's where you'll find God's grace sufficient, is when you just keep taking the next step. Just keep taking the next right step, right? And so, man, we're called to run with endurance. But then fourthly and lastly today, how do we finish? How do we finish? Well, we've got to rely on Jesus. Are you grateful for Jesus today? Come on, church. He is our Savior, our provider, our protector, our healer. He is our peace, our life. He's everything. Jesus is. And it says here that we're to look to Him because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He initiates our faith and He completes our faith through the person and power of the Holy Spirit in us. And so we can trust in Him. He is our coach. He's the coach, right? Who's at the end, who's at the finish line, man, cheering us on, right? He's our greatest fan. He's in the stands too, man, cheering you on, telling you, come on, man, just keep running. That's who Jesus is. He's our encourager. He's also our example. And so we learn from His life, don't we, in the Gospels especially. We learn from Him. And so Jesus, look unto Him, author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. That's a picture of the Christian life. For the joy set before us, we're called to endure and to carry the cross. The scripture says, Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow after me. What's the joy set before us? The joy set before us is to be able to go to heaven and see that great cloud of witnesses and see those faces of people whose lives were changed because we gave, because we served, because we shared Christ, because we ran the race. But it's also even greater than that, isn't it? The greatest reward is seeing Jesus face to face and hearing Him say, right, hearing Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Master. You've been faithful in a little, I'm going to give you much, right? So even in heaven, man, what a purpose. Our purpose will be to serve and worship God, our King, forever in His kingdom. Reminds me of the old hymn we used to sing, When We All Get to Heaven. Y'all remember that hymn? Remember that? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see who? Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory, right? The last verse of that hymn says, onward to the prize before us soon. His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. Right? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. That's going to make it all worth it, won't it? When we get to see Jesus face to face. Listen, what about you today? Are you running the race? Or have you been hit by life and now you're on the sidelines watching somebody else carry the ball? Listen, it's time to get back in the game. For some of you here this morning, that's the call, man. Get in the game. Give. Serve. Get out in our City with Hope Pregnancy Center and love on some folks with unexpected pregnancies. Love on these girls. Don't sit here and celebrate while folks are getting tore up. Come on, man. Let's love on people. Let's give hope. Let's be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Get plugged into kids' ministry and student ministry here. Let's raise up the next generation for Christ. We need our best leaders in those places. Come on, isn't that right? Get involved in a small group. Teach Bible study, those of you that have that giftedness. Man, come and say, you know what, I've been sitting on the sidelines. It's time to get in the game. Yeah, amen, get in the game. Serve God. But others of you are here and you've never even entered the race. You've been sitting on the sidelines for a long time and you say, man, I like this church thing. I like this Jesus thing. But you've never said, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you. And I know you died for my sins and rose from the dead. And so I submit and surrender to you and I receive your Holy Spirit today. Come, Jesus, be Lord of my life. I want to run the race. I want to run for you because of all you've done for me. Today, if you've never entered the race, I'm inviting you to enter into the loving arms of Jesus. Trust in Him and be saved. Be forgiven. That's the only way we're made right with God. And that's the only way that we can know for sure we're going to heaven when we die.